Yeah, it's all yours.
Right. Well, it's great to be here with you this morning down here in Longford. About a 2-hour drive for us, but well worth the journey. We've enjoyed everything we've gotten to be here for so far. And thank you for Brother Jenkins giving us the invite to come down here and met their family about, I guess, 6 months ago, something like that, 6-7 months at a youth camp. And I've seen them from time to time throughout that period, just at different meetings and things. And then we got to spend New Year's Day with them, which was a special treat. And thank the Lord for that. So grateful to be here this morning. If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 26. And as you're turning to the place, I'll just tell you briefly my testimony. I was saved in Northern Ireland. I'm sorry, you would say the North down here, wouldn't you? I was saved in the North, in the town of Warren Point when I was 8 years old. I grew up in a very religious home, but a lost home. By the time I was 4 years old, both of my parents, thank the Lord, were born again. They were saved. And when I was about 7 years old, the Lord started dealing with me about my salvation. I knew I was lost. I knew I was headed to a devil's hell. And about the time I was 8 years old, around September time, the Lord really was burdening on my heart that I was, if I died at that age, I would end up in that terrible place called hell that the Bible talked about. I'd memorized some Bible verses at the church we were going to, and I'd memorized John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I realized as an 8-year-old boy that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the price for my sin, for me personally. And the best I knew how, as an 8-year-old boy, I called out to the Lord Jesus Christ and put my faith and trust in him. And he saved my soul. He did exactly what he said he would do. He saved my soul. And he gave me peace and assurance, and he gave me eternal life. And so if you find your place there, Matthew chapter 26, the message I want to preach this morning is called Broke Down. Broke Down. How many of you have ever driven a car or been in a car that broke down? Anyway, yeah, I'm seeing most of the hands go up. Okay, so this will resonate with you this morning. I hope it'll be a blessing and a help. Matthew 26, we'll pick up in verse 36. This is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Matthew 26, verse 36, the Bible says, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come and meet together as your people this morning. Thank you that we have voices that we can lift and praise you, Lord, and sing these great songs, great hymns, Lord, of the truth of the Word of God to our great Savior. And Lord, thank you for the Sunday school hour and for the lessons from your Word, the instruction for life. We thank you for this church, Lord. We thank you for the Jenkins family that have labored here for years, Lord. Just ask for your hand of blessing to be upon them and upon this church. And for everyone that's gathered here this morning, I pray that you'd speak through your word. Lord, if there's any lost in our midst, if anyone that doesn't know for sure that heaven is their home, I pray that they would realize today that the Lord Jesus Christ loved them enough to die for them on that cross. And if they'll come to you in faith and trust, put their faith and trust in you, call out to you, they can be born again and have eternal life. And Lord, guard my mouth. Help me to say only the things that would please and honor you today. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Amen. So, on the issue of broke down, you know, the Lord comes back to his disciples. He has given them the instructions here in the Garden of Gethsemane. He asked them to watch while he went a little further and prayed. And he goes and he prays. He falls on his face and he prays. And he's obviously burdened. He says there in verse 38, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." And at his hour of need, the closest people to him, his closest friends on earth, the time he needed them most to watch, and then he later told them to pray, he comes back and he finds them asleep. Mm-hmm. Can you almost hear in the Savior's voice the disappointment, perhaps, when he comes back and he says in verse 40, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour?" It was almost like they were broke down. Yeah. They didn't do what they were supposed to do. Right. A car that doesn't function, you're driving down the road, all of a sudden it stops.
Right.
It's broke down. It's not doing what it's supposed to do. And you can almost hear the disappointment in the Savior's voice. The hour he needed them most. And they're broke down. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We've got a few Bible verses we'll look at this morning as we go through the message. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we'll pick up in verse 19. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? And ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I think that ties in very well with our Sunday school lesson this morning. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It says there in verse 20, for ye are bought with a price. We're bought with a price. If you're saved this morning, there is a price that has been paid for the redemption of your soul. And that price is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
We're bought with a price. And you know, when you pay a high price for something, you have high expectations from it, don't you?
Yes. Yeah.
If you pay a low price for something, you really have low expectations from it. Revelation 4:11 says that for thy pleasure they are and were created. We're created for God's pleasure. We're created to bring him glory. And the price of our redemption was his precious blood. And since the Lord Jesus redeemed us with his precious blood, turn, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 1. And while you're turning there, I'll just mention an illustration for you. You know, if you pay a high price for something, you've got high expectations. If you went out and bought a brand new vehicle today, if you could afford one, if I could afford one, which I can't, and you got in there after a week of owning that vehicle, maybe you paid 50 or even 60,000 euros for this vehicle, and that's not unusual this day and time. Vehicles are so expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And you went to turn the key. I'm sorry, they don't have keys anymore. They have push buttons. So you went to push the button after owning this for a week, and it just goes, rawr, 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 click, 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 click. You would be terribly upset.
Yes.
And I would too. It's not doing what you want it to do. It's not doing its function. It's not functioning as it's supposed to. When you pay a high price for something, you get high expectations from it. On the other hand, if you pay 200 euros for a car,
right,
and after a week of owning it, you go out one frosty morning and you turn the key because you don't have a push button on that one, and you turn the key and it goes rrr, 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 click, 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 click. You'd say, well, you get what you pay for. You get what you pay for. Why? Why the difference in attitude? The same situation happened to you, but why does it affect you differently? Because you pay a high price for something, you have high expectations. You pay a low price for something, you have low expectations. Back in the States, when I had a construction company over there, I'd buy tools from time to time. And, you know, if I went out and bought a drill and maybe paid a couple of $100 for a drill, and I got it out of the box and I put the battery on, made sure everything was charged and connected up good, put the drill bit in there and started the drill. And I went to pull the trigger and nothing happened. I checked the battery, I checked the trigger, I checked the settings, pull the trigger, nothing happens. I'd be disappointed. I'd be frustrated. On the other hand, if I bought a $5 drill at a yard sale or something, and I tried to use it and it didn't work, I think, well, you know, get what you pay for. And I wouldn't be that disappointed. But if you pay a high price for something, you would be disappointed if it's not functioning the way it's supposed to. Over here in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible says, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot.
Mm-hmm.
Can we all say this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ paid a high price?
Yes.
For your redemption and for mine?
Yeah, you're right.
It is the most precious substance in all of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
The blood of Christ is what it took to redeem your soul and mine.
Yeah.
All the silver and gold in the world wouldn't redeem one sin that you have,
right,
or mine. It took the precious blood of Christ. And so, high price, high expectation. Should the Lord not have some expectations from us? Surely he should. Surely he should. And so, I want to go through this morning. I've got 7 points I want to make. Don't worry, they're not long. I've got 7 points I want to make in relation to taking a car and using some of the problems that you commonly have with a car and relating that to the Christian life. And maybe you'll see in your own life, I challenge you to examine yourself and just consider the Word of God as we go through this and pray and say, Lord, is there something in me that you want me to change? Surely, Lord, you have some expectations from me. Am I living up to those expectations? Am I submitting to you daily? Am I walking in the Spirit? Am I doing the things that I'm supposed to do as a Christian to bring you glory? And Lord, if I'm not, show me what I need to change in my life. First problem you can have with the car we mentioned already is it won't start or won't crank. And you could say that's an obedience problem. Really, when you push that button or turn that key, you're giving that car a command. You're telling the car, start. But if it doesn't start, that's an obedience problem.
Right.
And we often, in the Christian life, oftentimes we struggle with obedience problems. Mm-hmm. The Lord Jesus Christ did say, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Yes.
He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. The Bible says, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Is that the pattern of your Christian life? Are you keeping your heart? Are you guarding your heart? We heard about some of those things in Sunday school this morning about guarding the mind and heart in relation to the marriage relationship. Are you guarding your mind and heart? Oftentimes we struggle with obedience problems. I have to confess in my life, there's been many times when the Lord has asked me to do something or directed me to do something or go talk to someone, witness to someone perhaps. Throughout my life, and times I've just shied away from it, and I've not done what I was supposed to do. And it was nothing more than an obedience problem. To my shame, it was an obedience problem. Jeremiah says, mine eye affecteth mine heart. Turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. On the subject of obedience problems, Paul gives us a little bit of insight here. 2 Corinthians 10, we'll pick up here in verse 3. It says, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Paul here talking about bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I've heard some of God's people say, I just can't control my thought life. Well, yes, you can. We're instructed to. God's not going to tell you to do something you can't do.
Right.
And if you walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, the Lord will give you the ability, and he'll give you the strength to control your thought life, to control your mind, because the devil wants your mind. He knows if he can get into your mind, if he can control your mind, your thoughts, and get wicked thoughts, sinful thoughts, whatever kind of thoughts he wants to get in there to derail you and get you off the path that God has chosen for you. That's what he wants to do.
Right.
And the devil is after the mind of God's people in these last days. If you're saved, he can't do anything about your soul.
Yes.
You're headed to heaven. Praise God. But it can affect your mind.
Oh, yeah.
And it can put things in front of your eyes. It can let things go through your ears that will affect your mind and get you off track for the Lord.
Yes.
And it becomes an obedience problem. Jeremiah said, mine eye affecteth mine heart. Keep thine heart with all diligence.
Mm-hmm.
Another problem you can have with a vehicle is it won't run smoothly. You know, you buy it and it's first new and you start it and it just sounds smooth. You can put a little coin right up there on top of the engine and it won't even shake. It just sits there, nice and smooth. But as it's a little bit of age to it, you know, sometimes it starts to maybe run a little bit rougher. Maybe you've got an injector going down and your cylinder's missing and you might have a spark plug problem. And if things just, you put a coin on it now, it'll you know, jump it right off there. It's shaking, it's wobbling. Sometimes it's shaking the car as you're going down the road. I hope you don't have that problem. If you do, you need to get it fixed quickly. But sometimes a car just won't run smoothly. And oftentimes in the Christian life, we have that problem.
Mm-hmm.
We're not running smoothly like God wants us to. There's something out of balance. There's something out of order.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's a dirt problem. You know, you can have dirt in your fuel. If you go down to the filling station and you get some diesel or petrol and you put it in there and it's got dirt in it, it's going to cause some problems. Now, your engine might be in good shape. You might have a new vehicle. But you put dirty fuel in there, you've got a problem.
Yes.
And it's going to cause the engine not to run smoothly. And I remember one time I had a Ford truck. I know Brother Jenkins here seems to like Chevrolet from what I know of him, so we'll have a little bit of a friendly rivalry going on here. And you won't have many of these problems if you own a Ford, but just every now and then. If you own a Chevrolet, on the other hand, you'd be well-versed in all these. Just kidding, brother. And so I had a Ford, and I thought my Ford broke down. And I was driving down this back road. I pulled a big heavy load, several tons of cement on a big trailer, and I dropped the trailer, and I was going down this little road and coming into an intersection of a big major highway. I looked both ways, and I hit the throttle to take off, and it just went blip, 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 and went nowhere. It wouldn't even move. And I jump out. I think I called Allison, told her to bring another vehicle over there, and we could tow it back up to the shop. And I'm thinking, oh, no, my Ford's broke down. Let me down. And so I was thinking the whole way up the road, you know, pulling that truck back. I should have bought a Chevrolet. And I get it back up there, and I start taking the fuel system apart. And I put clean fuel in the fuel system, and I fire the injectors individually. And I think everything's fine here. The ignition system's fine. I put it back on, and I realized the whole problem was I got bad fuel. About 30 minutes before the truck broke down, I got some bad fuel. And I didn't know it was bad. Obviously, I wouldn't have put it in there. But the truck started running worse and worse and worse after I put the fuel in there. And that's the problem. It wasn't a problem with the truck. It was a problem with the fuel. But let me relate this to the Christian life. What are you putting into yourself? Mm-hmm. What are you putting into your mind and heart that might be dirty?
Yes.
We heard about some of those things this morning and how they can defile you.
Yeah.
And how they can affect not just you, but your family and your church. Dirt can be a great problem in a vehicle, and dirt can be a great problem in the Christian life. The Bible talks about the washing of water by the word. And John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. From time to time, if you're saved, you might get dirty walking through this world.
Yeah, for sure.
There might be some sin comes into your life, and there will be.
Yes.
Some sin that comes into your life, and you just need to go back to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I messed up.
Yeah.
And I want to get clean. There's nothing like being clean before the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You can praise him a whole lot better. You'll have a lot more enjoyable time in your Bible when you're reading.
Yes.
You'll have more enjoyable times in your home and with your wife and kids and singing praises to God. It'll even make the workplace more enjoyable when you're clean before God.
Yeah.
Maybe someone has a dirt problem this morning that you need to get fixed. The washing of the water of the Word. The Word of God will help clean you up. This book is like a mirror.
Yes.
And the more you read it, it's reading you, and it'll show you where the dirt is,
mm-hmm.
and the Lord will help you get that cleaned out. Another problem you can have with a vehicle is that it won't go straight. Maybe you had a bad pothole, and all of a sudden after that, your steering wheel was nice and straight and all of that, and you would roll down the highway nice and smooth, but ever since that pothole, it seems like the steering wheel's trying to pull you off the road, and you're having to fight it to stay in the road, and what's going on is you might have three wheels that are going straight, and then one of them is turned this way. And it's trying to pull you off the road. That's called an alignment problem, okay? And oftentimes in the Christian life, we can have an alignment problem, and we won't go straight. We're out of line. And my question to you this morning is there any area in your life that you might be out of line? You say, well, give me some examples. Well, would you be out of line in what you watch? Is there anything out of line in what you watch? God's people shouldn't be entertained by the same thing that the world is entertained by.
Yeah.
There should be a difference. God has high expectations from us. Are you out of line in where you go? The places you go, are you out of line? And I don't need to be specific in these. The Lord is well able to bring things to your mind as we go through these lists that he can bring to your attention if need be. Maybe out of line in what you wear. God's people shouldn't wear the same things as the world does. Out of line. Turn, if you would, to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And jump in then there about verse 22. And James says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. James says there in verse 25, he says, continueth therein. Are you continuing on the path that God has for you? Or is something out of line that's pulling you off the path? As God's people, we need to continue on the straight and narrow. It's hard to stay on that straight and narrow if you've got one wheel that's just pulling the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a wheel out of line in your life or in your heart? In your walk with the Lord, is there something out of line that's just pulling you the wrong way? Maybe a wrong influence. Maybe a wrong relationship. Maybe a friendship. Maybe, I don't know what it is. You ask the Lord and search your heart. Is there something that's pulling you out of line that you need to get fixed? Another problem you can have with a vehicle is backfiring. And this is not as common anymore, but Brother Jenkins would know back there in the States with those big V8 gas burner engines. Some of the old ones, especially the 60s and the 70s, you know, those carburetor engines. If you knew what you were doing, you could get it just right and pull up to a stoplight or something and turn it off and maybe pump the gas a few times and turn it back on and go boom. And everyone around would think that the whole town just blew up, you know, and that people just hiding down in their cars. I don't know. He probably did that before. I don't know. You can talk to him about that after. But quite a few gearheads would do that from time to time, and just for a laugh or a giggle at a stoplight, and almost give some people a heart attack, I'm sure. But it was backfiring. And there's two ways an engine can backfire. It can backfire out the exhaust, which is not a problem, or it can backfire through the intake, which can be a major problem. That one can do all kinds of damage. And I recently had a problem like that with a vehicle backfiring through the intake. And so how does that relate to us in the Christian life? Well, God wants to put some good nourishment spiritually into you.
Yes.
Okay, so that air and fuel mixture that goes into an engine that ignites and makes the engine turn, that's the good air-fuel mixture. It's for the benefit of the engine. It's for your benefit to make you go down the road.
Mm-hmm.
But if God's trying to put something into you, and you just blow it back out, you're backfiring. I'm reminded over there in Acts chapter 7 where Stephen is preaching to the Pharisees, and he says, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. You do always resist the Holy Ghost. God was trying to do something to help them, but they were backfiring. They were resisting. Is there anything in your life, or are you resisting the preaching and teaching of God's word? If you read your Bible in the morning and God just points to something and just, as they say, he just pins your hide and you know you're guilty, what do you do with that? Do you resist that? Do you backfire and say, I'm not interested in changing that. I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to do my own thing. That'll be like backfiring. God's trying to put something good and helpful into you. Don't resist him. When God's trying to help you, don't resist him. That air and fuel mixture going into an engine is for the engine's benefit. When your pastor preaches and teaches the word of God, he's trying to help you. There might be some things that he preaches and teaches that are hard to take from time to time. Might rub you the wrong way from time to time. But if he's preaching the word of God, it is for your benefit. It is for my benefit. There's been plenty of times I've sat in my home church over there in Tennessee, and my pastor has preached some things that just, if my toes were there, he would just have stomped all over them. And at the time, it just, I really want to hear that. But it was good for me. It was good for me. When I said, you know what, Lord, he's right, I'm wrong. The word of God's right, I'm wrong, I need to fix that. It was for my benefit. And so backfiring, don't backfire against the Lord. And so our opening text, the Lord Jesus comes back to the disciples and he says, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? He comes back to the disciples and it's almost like they're broke down. There's some things that are not working like they should. And oftentimes in the Christian life, if we're honest, we'll find ourselves there. Another problem that we can have is unresponsive. If you get in a vehicle and you're going down the road and you hit the brakes and nothing happens, well, that's a problem. That would be unresponsive. Unresponsive brakes. Or maybe not as serious a problem. You're stopped at a traffic light and you put your foot on the throttle and nothing happens. That's unresponsive. You put your foot there, just there's no response. Nothing happens. I've had that problem, that vehicle that had the fuel problem, dirt in the fuel. That's what it was. I put my foot all the way down on the throttle pedal, and nothing happened. Just unresponsive. And sometimes in the Christian life, we can get unresponsive. And to be real honest, most of the time, it's just because we're too busy. We're too busy with everything but God. We're too busy with the things of this life. And so God says, witness to that person. And he hits the throttle and there's no response. God says, pray. I want to spend some time with you. He hits the throttle and there's no response. God says, read your Bible. No response. God says, go minister to your neighbor, the hurting. They've had a loss in their family. Go minister to your neighbor. Go minister to your friend. No response. God says, humble yourself. No response. And I'm ashamed to say there's been many times in my life when I was unresponsive to God. When he directed me to do something. When he wanted me to go do a certain task, whatever it may have been, whether it was witnessing, whatever it may have been, unresponsive. Is there anything in your life that God has wanted you to do and you've just been too busy? Or you've been preoccupied? Or you just plainly said, I don't want to do that right now. That's out of my comfort zone. Would you examine your life and say, Lord, is there anything where I've been unresponsive that you want me to fix? What is it you'd have me to do, Lord? Another problem you can have, and we're almost done, is no lights. I spent some time in the Philippines, was over there on three occasions on short mission trips, and it was not uncommon in the Philippines to be driving down the road, highway, and you might be doing 40, 50, 60 miles an hour. It's nighttime. You've got your lights on. You're going down the road, and everything's pitch black. You're out in the country area, and you're cruising along there, and all you hear is just the hum of your engine, and you're just easing along, and all of a sudden you hear, and you don't see anything. It's nighttime, right? All you see is your lights on the road in front of you, and you hear a vehicle whiz by you, and you don't see any lights. And what has happened was that other person, they thought, well, the other person will have lights. I don't need any. I'll just stay away from them and I'll drive down the road. And they do this quite frequently. And apparently it never crosses their mind to think, well, what if the other person doesn't have lights either? What happens then? Well, I guess that's population control. I don't know. But this happened on more than one occasion in the Philippines when I was over there. You'd hear a vehicle at nighttime pass you and you wouldn't see any lights. It's quite terrifying. And then there were some of them, you know, they didn't have proper lights on their vehicle, and they would wrap their vehicle with Christmas tree lights. I've seen Christmas tree lights at nighttime just coming towards you down the road. No headlights, just Christmas tree lights. Sometimes they're pink. Coming down the road. You never know what you're going to see over there. And, you know, lights are important, especially in a vehicle. The Lord tells us, let your light so shine before man. And the Bible says, by their fruits ye shall know them. Mm-hmm. And there's some people that have, it's almost like there's some people that have headlights, but they don't work. And that's like religion. You know, a car that has headlights with no bulbs in them is useless for driving at night. Mm-hmm. Now, if you look at it in the daytime, you wouldn't notice any different, would you? You think, mm-hmm. Oh, that's a car, steering wheel, four wheels, headlights, good to go. But if you started to drive at night and you went to turn the lights on, they didn't work. Now you're in trouble.
Yeah.
And that's what religion will do to people.
Mm-hmm.
Religion, any religion in this world, will give you a set of headlights with no bulbs in them.
Yeah.
And the Lord Jesus is the light, but religion doesn't have him.
Right.
Lights are not only important to see where you're going, lights are important for others to see where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I was in Ohio, and we were headed up north to a meeting, probably somewhere around 2019, and there was a horrendous rainstorm, and it's so bad that you were basically crawling on the road, and it was daytime, it was daylight, but you could hardly see the road in front of you or anything else around, and we all had our lights on, and I knew that the car up ahead of me, I could see these two little red dots, and they were spaced just right to be at a safe distance. And I knew that as long as those red dots didn't get any wider and brighter, I was okay to keep going. Because neither they could see the road markings, neither could I. There was water everywhere, and obviously we just had to go in that situation. You probably said you should have pulled over and waited till the storm stopped. Maybe so, but in my youth and zeal and foolishness, whatever it may have been, we just decided to keep driving. But as long as I could see those taillights of the other car, the red lights out in front of me, I knew I was okay.
Yeah.
If those lights started coming towards me, I was in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't know where to brake. And so that's a good illustration of the Christian life. You know, sometimes you got to let your light shine so that others can see the way to go.
Right.
And I'll use this illustration. I know a young couple, especially about a little older than us in Indiana. They've been a pastor and pastor's wife there for many years. And it seems like they've just been through one difficult trial in life right after another.
Mm-hmm.
Just grueling things that they just seem to go through. And every time they another one of these storms hits, it just seems like their light just keeps on shining. They just keep going on for God. They just won't quit for God. And they keep being faithful, and they keep serving God, and they keep loving God, and they keep witnessing, and they keep ministering. Every trial that comes their way, they just keep that light shining. And that's encouraging for me because I can look at them and I can see the trials they've been through.
Yeah.
And it's almost like I can see their taillights and say, God, they've been through this.
Right.
I know others can get through it too.
Yeah.
God, they've been through this trial. I know I can get through it with your help,
mm-hmm.
with your grace, with your power. You help them through it. You can help others through it.
Right.
And maybe there's someone here this morning, and you know, we talked about the car that has headlights, but there's no light in there. Maybe there's someone here this morning, and the Bible talks about having a form of godliness. And that's what religion will do to people. It will give you a form of godliness, but nothing real. There's no substance. And maybe there's someone here that's not saved this morning. You don't have the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And everybody thinks that you do. Maybe like a car, you look and you see the headlights, but there's no bulbs.
Mm-hmm.
But God knows.
Yeah.
God knows. And you don't have to come and tell me. But maybe after the service today, maybe you need to get alone with God and say, Lord, I've been living a lie. Lord, all I've got is religion. And I need a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I need to be born again. Maybe you need the real thing. The last one I want to mention today is a blown fuse. I have worked on heavy equipment, big track diggers and bulldozers and dump trucks. I worked as a mechanic for about 5 years. And right here we have a little fuse, just a little blade fuse. That thing's tiny. Just a little blade fuse. And inside there is a plastic casing and two little pins. But in between the two pins is a little tiny, tiny wire. And it's very delicate. And you know, some huge big piece of equipment, like a big bulldozer, could completely come to a standstill if that little tiny wire blew out.
Mm-hmm.
If that little tiny wire was damaged, that whole big machine would just come to a screeching halt. And sometimes, I've noticed in the Christian life, sometimes the smallest thing can cause somebody to quit.
You're right.
Sometimes the smallest thing can cause somebody to quit. Turn, if you would, to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, and we'll pick up in verse 14. The Lord Jesus speaking, he says, "The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended." Immediately they are offended. If you're not careful, something's going to happen in your life, in the Christian life, that's going to get you offended.
Yeah.
Maybe a situation in church. Maybe somebody says something about your child or your grandchild. Maybe somebody takes your parking spot. Maybe somebody takes your seat. Maybe somebody took that coffee cup that you were just about to reach for. And they give you a dirty look as they were doing it. Something's going to offend you. And it could be any number of things.
Yeah.
But the Lord warns us here about being offended. And the danger of being offended. The Bible says, "Great peace of they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." If you stay close to the Lord and close to his word, you'll handle those offenses a whole lot better, and it'll just help you to grow some thick skin.
Yeah.
And as God's people, we need to have some thick skin.
Right.
We need to have some endurance.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I have noticed many saved people, just like that little fuse, That little fuse is so delicate. Sometimes the smallest thing can cause somebody to quit on God.
Yeah.
They quit on God. They quit on church. They quit reading their Bible. They quit witnessing. They just quit over something so small. Don't let that be you.
Yeah.
Don't let that be you. You know, I've noticed these little blade fuses. I have seen from time to time while I was working in that construction company as a mechanic, I saw one of these blade fuses one time, and it was on the ground, a gravel yard outside where the company headquarters was, and huge dump trucks driving over this thing. Ford loaded with gravel, 40 tons weight, driving over this fuse. And I looked down and I saw it, and I thought, I've destroyed it. And I picked it up and looked at it. And it was perfect. The fuse was perfect. You see, this little plastic casing around the outside of that very delicate wire is strong.
Mm-hmm.
The fuse is very weak. The little filament inside there is very weak, but the casing is very strong. And here's another illustration I want to give to you. That casing, it's kind of like the local church for you if you're saved. By yourself, you're weak.
Yes.
But God gives you a network in the local church. It's like an umbrella of protection that God will give you in the local church. And you need each other.
Yes, that's for sure.
You need each other.
Yes.
That fuse needs that plastic protection.
Mm-hmm.
And a child of God needs the local church and needs a pastor.
Yeah.
There is a measure of protection that God will give to you inside the local church that you just don't have out there in the world.
Right.
And I've met so many Christians, professing Christians, that just seem to be out there doing their own thing. They're watching, you know, messages online on YouTube or whatever, and logging into their favorite preacher that never says anything to offend them or never says anything to challenge them. And all they get is just milk, and it's everything that they want and makes them feel good. And it's not helping them. And when the storms of life come, you watch their life just wrecked.
Yeah.
Because they're outside of God's protective measures of the local church. I want to encourage you, church. Stay together and stay close to God and be faithful to God and be faithful to your local church.
Yeah.
Because if you haven't noticed, there's a whole lot more people out there than there are in here.
Mm-hmm.
And as we get closer to the end, we're going to need each other more and more.
Yes.
And the Bible does tell us, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Yeah.
So much the more. So I hope that's been a help and encouragement to you. You'll probably never break down in a vehicle the same way ever again. But hopefully when you see someone broke down at the side of the road, maybe some of these things will come back to your mind. And you'll remember the Lord Jesus coming back to his disciples that were broke down.
Yeah.
And remember, the Lord paid a high price for you.
Yes.
He paid the price of his blood. And he has some high expectations from us as God's people.
Mm-hmm.
And so with the Lord's help, we'll walk with him day by day, walk by faith, not by sight, conform to his image day by day.
Yeah.
All right, brother. Over to you.
Yeah. I hope you've appreciated the message today, and good to hear from Brother Thompson here today.
Yeah.
And we're just going to go ahead and just close things out here in prayer. But I challenge you, if there's anything that he said this morning that spoke to your heart, if there's anything that maybe this message is pointed out to you as we go to the Lord in prayer, it'd be a good time to talk to the Lord about it.
Right.
And take care of it now. And something maybe I should emphasize more often, but I tell you, if you get something from the message from the Word of God and you say, well, I'll take care of it later, or I'll think about this a little bit, and we say amen and we get up out of our seats and we go about our way, it's very quick before that thought's going and completely forgot about it.
Yeah.
So if the Lord's dealt with you about anything today, as we go to the Lord in prayer, I challenge you to take care of that today.
Yeah.
And if you can, stick around for a little while, fellowship, get to know the Thompsons a little bit, and let them know that you appreciate them being here. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we come to you today. Just thank you so much for your blessings today. We thank you, Lord, for this time that we get to be together in your house and to hear from your word. We thank you for the fellowship amongst believers here, and Lord, for the word that was preached. Lord, we just pray that you would deal with people's hearts now, Lord. And I pray, Lord, if there's anything that you've been dealing with them about, Lord, that even now they would come to you, Lord, and they would pray about these things, Lord, and seek to get these things right with you, Lord. If there's anyone here today that don't know you as their Savior, that even now they would come to you, and Lord, that they would place their faith and trust in you, Lord, before it's everlasting too late. We ask you, Lord, now that you be with us as we go about our way, Lord, you watch over us through this week. Help us be a light and a witness in this place you've put us. I pray, Lord, be with our time, our fellowship. Lord, we thank you for the food and ask your blessings on it, Lord. And Lord, all these things we pray in Jesus' name and amen.